I stand before you today with a bucket load of humility, as I always do when I attempt to reflect upon parenting, wondering what I could possibly say about this most humbling endeavor that I have ever engaged in. Like Elliot, I thought I was prepared. I considered myself a thoughtful, smart, compassionate person. And people have been doing this since the beginning of time. It might be a little scary, but how hard could it really be? Right, yep. Well, years ago, I saw this cartoon and I've never forgotten it. Is it coming up? Can you see it? It says adult children of normal parents. So when I first saw it as a young adult, of course, I imagined myself as the person who wasn't invited to that convention. But now, I imagine my children as the ones not in that club. And it is so darn humbling. Family life is just wacky. No one gets a rule book, and no one gets to choose their teammates. Each family has its own unique dynamics. Each family is led by fallible adult humans doing the very best that they can. And we all come out of it with some wounding, most of it inflicted unintentionally by well-meaning, loving adults entrusted with our care by the miracle of life. Then, wounded or not, many of us decide to go ahead and create new families ourselves, which we always assume we will do a much, much better job at. But here's what happens. Without a level of intentionality, we all just fall into the same old patterns that we were taught by example as kids. Now, as you may know, I'm currently parenting a 12-year-old and a 16-year-old. With two teenagers, I'm barely out of the starting gate, really. But I hope my reflections here today have meaning for those of you with adult children as well. And you also know that my family has its share of challenges. And I know that I'm not the only one in that camp. So over time, I've learned that knowledge, the books, only goes so far in the tougher moments of family life. And what I've come to learn is that I'm a much better parent when I approach parenting as a spiritual practice. Now, you may say spiritual practice is all about quiet and contemplation, just the opposite of what happens when you're with children. And the Buddha left his wife and kids to become a spiritual guru. And as far as we know, Jesus never had kids, and neither did the Dalai Lama or Mother Teresa. So how the heck could this be anything connected to spiritual practice? However, it is. Like meditation and other spiritual practices, perfection is not the goal, even though we might desire it deeply. Ego, having our children be a reflection of our unmet desires for ourselves, or the image we want to project into the world, isn't the goal either. Although we may unconsciously desire that as well. Spiritual practice is a conscious decision to engage in activities that help us be the people or the parents we seek to be, and to break out of patterns that limit our potential, that keep us stuck in ego, and invite us instead to a deeper level of love and compassion for ourselves and others. So orienting our parenting as spiritual practice helps us shift some of those unintentional behaviors or opens us up to our awareness of it. These behaviors that are patterned from our childhoods, from our woundedness and the gifts of our own childhood. And it provides a possibility for healing for ourselves as well as those that we've been entrusted to care for. And it reminds us that when we lose our way in the moments or in the patterns of life, we know to what we can return. We have a North Star. Many religious traditions call spiritual practice being on the path or finding the way or that North Star to know when you're off course, what actually your intention is. Where are you trying to be, even though we constantly miss the mark? So with our tradition, I think we can use our UU principles. Certainly the first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of all persons, is obvious to anchor our orientation towards any person. But I'm going to think more about our third principle today, acceptance of one another and encouragement of their spiritual growth. Acceptance of one another. But both of these principles invite us to fully see the other person and to be present to what is, rather than our fantasy of what should be. It's that gap that causes our own pain and suffering and messes up our capacity to really be in beautiful, intentional, conscious relationship with children or anyone else. In an essay entitled Expecting Adam, Martha Beck shared a story about what it felt like after she learned that the child that she was carrying had Down syndrome. So at this time, she was still pregnant with her son, who was named Adam. And she was devastated by this news. And she was a Harvard grad, so she did what she always did, which was went to the Harvard bookstore, The Coop, to get information. She burst into the parenting section of the bookstore, only to find what she called instructional variations on one single subject. Quote, how to turn a human infant into a genius in the shortest amount of time possible. You know the books. You probably have them on your bookshelf. Teach your baby to read. Pre-law for preschoolers. Toddling on through calculus, you know. So, and what she wrote. You know them, right? You know them. I had them. But then she wrote, slowly, slowly, standing in the coop, I realized that I was not looking for information about how to transform my child into the prize every parent would envy. I needed to transform myself into a parent who could accept her child no matter what. There's no book for that in the parenting section of the Harvard Coop. That transformation becomes the inner work of spiritual practice, attuning to ourselves so we can see when we're missing that mark, and attuning to our children, cultivating a sense of presence that is the primary function of many spiritual practices. Because from there, the reality of what is, we can grow to the experience of actually seeing the blessings in it, even if it doesn't match our image of what it should be. And we know those images rarely match. So in that same essay, Martha Beck shares a Christmas morning moment with her three children. So she had two older children, Katie and Lizzie. And they get down on Christmas morning, they start ripping open their presents, and Katie opens a doll, and Martha talks about how she just could see her face fall. And as parents, they were like, oh God, we blew it again, and you know, the doll didn't have the right dress. It was supposed to be the doll with the blue dress, not the doll with the red dress, and you know, crestfallen Katie. Same thing with Lizzie, same thing. It was a horse that didn't have real horse hair. The stuff that many of us, I'm sure, have seen on Christmas morning ourselves. Then it was Adam's turn. So the first package he goes for is a package about this big, and he rips it open, and it is an 8-pack of batteries that are meant to accompany the toy, the larger toy under the tree. But Adam is so excited about those batteries. And all he could do was imagine all the things that those batteries could do. And he took off running around the house with these batteries in sheer joy. In sheer joy. And in that moment, and in many moments after that, Adam was the spiritual teacher for that family. And Martha was able to share that wisdom because of her own desire, her own capacity to transform herself so she could see it. So she could be present to that moment and see it and then share it. Now, I don't know the detail of Martha Beck's path, but I can assure you that she missed the mark over and over again. And I can assure you that she suffered when her son suffered, and that she doubted herself repeatedly as a parent, and had to continually give loving attention to that part of her that wanted perfect children. I've come to learn that every child has special needs. Every child, if we look at them and see them, needs us to be attuned to who they are and to match ourselves so that we can help them be the best that they are in that moment for who they are, not who we want them to be. And our job as parents, which we can make a practice, is to be present to those children and those needs. Parenting as spiritual practice changes us from a goal orientation to that presence orientation. So much of kids' lives and our lives is about goals, sports, and grades, and behavior, and an orientation towards presence invites us to just pay attention to what's happening without that future orientation of what should be happening next. And not only accept it, but take time to notice it and even celebrate it. And that's a tall order in our distracted world. But an invitation as well to slow down and take the time to be present to the blessings that your children bring you. Blessings you may be too hurried to notice unless you imagine it as practice. Notice when you're wanting them to be something other than they are and missing the gifts that they might offer. And maybe for yourself, see what that one practice of acceptance and appreciation might do for you and for all those people you love. May this be our promise and our prayer.